Hey, it's Air the Footage Thursday. It's Rumor and Innuendo. I am Dominic D'Angelo of SEScoops.com, AdFreeshows.com, but I am here with Robert Karpolis, WDE Creative underscore ish. And wow, Robert, we got some stuff to cover today, don't we?
Hate to say I told you so, but here we are, guys. It is the day after AEW Dynamite. And we're gonna start off by just saying hi to some of the folks that are joining us in the chat here, streaming live. You can make your voice heard when you go to our YouTube page. Good morning from Christopher Zanto. Good morning, Rumorites. Let's start this. Oh, Tony, will you ever win? Episode. Joseph Wade Walters. Morning, fellas. Can't wait to hear about Tony's landmark Bash at the Beach moment, 2000, not 96. And from Bingy 247, Dorby Vecker from Slovakia. That's fantastic. And Rick Smith has been waiting for this since last night. Rick, we're right there with you. It's cute that Dom put a run sheet together for this show. It's adorable. It's ambitious that he thought in 30 minutes time, we were going to get to about a half dozen other stories going on in the wrestling world. Hey Dom.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
You know what? I figure we should probably talk about QT Marshall's cameo in the back of that photo. I think
that was an all-time moment. Yes, QT Marshall in the background with Cody and Ricky Starks before WrestleMania. I mean, that was explosive backstage content that you are here to see.
Yes, let's actually talk about Dynamite. You know, it is Thursday. Some stuff happened on there, and it got a lot of feedback, and what we all predicted, what you predicted, and it was not received well, and it was in bad taste, I think. But Robert, let's just get right into it. What did you think of them? They aired the footage in pure silence, and we saw the whole thing, and they tried to make it into an angle that really didn't kind of work. What'd you think of it all, Robert?
We all thought, and when I sat here in this chair yesterday, I said, this is not going to have a good outcome. Either we're going to get parody footage, they're going to use it for an angle and it's going to tank, or we're going to see the real footage, they're going to use it for an angle and it's going to tank. I did not, in my wildest imagination, think it was going to be as bad as this was for a number of reasons. So first of all, the Young Bucks, who, it's no secret, I have feelings about the Young Bucks as presenters, but as cowardly heel EVP weaselly guys you want to see hit, they fit that bill. You want to see them get punched in the face. They're opening this segment sitting in the back talking about how somebody, unnamed somebody, ruined the biggest show they've ever put on. And if you're baby faces, if you're EVPs in earnest, if you are anybody in the locker room, and the idea is we have the biggest gate we've ever had, this is the biggest show we've ever put on, and somebody's petty nonsense threw everything into jeopardy, that's great. That's Bret Hart screwed Bret Hart. That is a galvanizing, we are going to move forward, to hell with these people who don't want to be here, to hell with these people who are jeopardizing our mission statement, because our mission statement is we are the best pro wrestling company out there. We put on better matches than anybody else. We have a better roster than anybody else. We believe in what we're doing. We respect our talent. We respect our fans. And we are giving you a true alternative. Hell of a babyface. Young Bucks are heels. Young Bucks are cowardly heels. And the messaging here was, we're going to show you this incendiary footage that is going to blow your minds and change the way that you've perceived the universe. You're going to be like AJ Styles and realize the world is flat. But what happened in this footage was because the FTR team, these dastardly jerks, put somebody up to this, and they are the ones who imperiled our company. We know that that's not true. Boo us. We're heels. They then show the footage, Dom. So it's security cam footage.
Yep.
Like they're in the Quickie Mart. And you see Jack Perry, you see Samoa Joe, you see a lot of agents standing there, you see Jerry Lynn there.
Hook
is standing there, and then Punk approaches Jungle Boy. Sorry, the unnamed guy in the 3X jacket approaches Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. And there's just silence because there's no audio. It's security cam footage.
Yeah.
So it is just watching people in silence talking to each other like you're playing The Sims. And then you see it sort of escalate, and then Punk shoves Jack Perry, and then he gets him in a headlock, and then immediately a swarm of people pull them apart. Well, they pull Punk apart.
Yeah.
Jack Perry is being held back by Samoa Joe, and he's pretending like, let me at him, when you know he wants nothing to do with what's going on in this situation. We have been told with this all-in situation, this massive war, this epic back and forth brawl, this unprofessional, insane situation that made Tony Khan, the owner of a company, fear for his life like he never had before. And then you see this footage, and clearly Tony Khan never went to school, elementary school, middle school, high school, college. He's never seen any sort of even mild dust up between people. This was so lackluster in terms of what we thought we were going to see. I don't know if they thought we were going to see this and be like, CM Punk's a jerk. To hell with CM Punk. We're all team AEW. Screw WWE. No, this looked like a very mild shoving match.
Yeah.
I can only speak from personal experience here, but like when I was in college, I was in a fraternity. I loved the guys that I was in my fraternity with. We would get into like fake fights, but fights, and they would get like wild and out of control. If we said this was wild and out of control, we would have been mocked mercilessly.
Right.
I've been in locker rooms in WWE, in MLW, where guys have disagreements and arguments, and maybe they're shoving. That goes so far above and beyond what this was. So no, I did not watch this and think, boy, Tony was right to fear for his life. He was right to fire CM Punk. What an unprofessional, over-the-top, ruined-the-business moment. This man should be shunned for life. All I thought was, this was embarrassing to show. You breached the trust of your locker room by showing backstage footage that had no business ever being aired. You expose your own business because you have Joe and Punk standing feet from each other when they're about to go wrestle. And remember, guys, we're supposed to pretend these guys don't like each other. This is all real. And you're watching their show. And instead, they're just kind of standing there hanging out.
And then Hook and Jack Perry just had a match. Hook's checking on Jack Perry after the thing is done, after the skirmish is done.
Yep. And then on top of all this, they cut to Tony Schiavone. I love Tony. Yes, he is a bulldog. Yes, I am a gator. Yes, that leads to a lot of what I'll call good-natured ribbing between the two of us.
Yes.
I respect Tony Schiavone. Mm-hmm. That man traveled back in time on live television to WCW 2000. It was such you feel so terrible for him kind of moment. Your heart goes out to Tony in this moment. I wanted them to zoom in on him and just start playing the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme, because that's all I thought. This guy who has seen it all, it was like Jeff Goldblum in a Jurassic Park sequel. Oh, guy, here comes the running and the dinosaurs again and the shoot promos. And I know we just recorded the WrestleRoast show, so I'm telling a story that I just told, but you're hearing it first here and you'll hear it on there, so act surprised.
Yes.
When Tony Schiavone was in WCW, and my best friend Eric and I used to gently mock the ridiculousness of WCW, especially like in the NWO era and then the Russo era, where they were trying to make everything seem so shocking. Tony would constantly yell things like, what a swerve. That's not on my programming sheet. And when I met Tony, I told him this story. And he popped and he was like, oh, I felt like an idiot having to say this whole, like, that's not on my format sheet. Cause you're like, everything is scripted, but this isn't scripted, guys. Everything else you've seen and are going to see was supposed to happen. Cause it's all written and it's all fake. And we're making you feel like an idiot for watching it. But this right here is real.
This is the
real. When FTR came out and they said, this is not on our format sheet. That was like a little dog whistle of, sorry guys. Like, this is stupid to a degree that we can't quantify. This is an owner who has no faith in his company, who has no faith in his talent, who has no faith in the show that he's putting out there. We're just trying to be shock TV and gotcha, which is the formula that stopped working 25 years ago. I feel like I've just talked for about an hour straight. Dom, what did you think of this segment?
It was awful. Like, we mentioned just watching the security cam footage, and it's almost like, yeah, you're going back in time. You're like, these guys on this screen, on this image, have no idea what's to come several months down the line when this is actually airing on Dynamite. Like, it's like unsuspecting victims, it kind of felt like. And then on top of it, it felt so out of place and so not forward thinking when it comes to what your product is supposed to be about. Where, you know, we mentioned it yesterday. It's like you have these stars that don't get pushed or that you forget about, or like a Wardlow or whoever, you name it. You name any talent, basically, this has happened to them at some juncture, basically. Where it's like, put the focus on those guys. It was not on that. It was on this, what felt like 10 minutes of silence of that footage. And like, you just, okay, nothing happened. CM Punk, I don't know if you saw this, Robert, but Ariel Helwani tweeted. So CM Punk basically said exactly what happened. And then he had his interview with Punk lined up with the clip itself. And it was just, and then that got removed. But
yeah, they pulled down, they put copyright notice violations up, which, by the way, super nerdy. And I'm okay with this because I had this thought. And then my buddy Adam, who is a listener to the show, is also an attorney, had this thought. Under GDPR privacy law, utilizing closed circuit television should only be utilized in very narrow circumstances and is not fit for broadcast. So if Punk wants to bring a GDPR violation against All Elite Wrestling, this would be the time to do it and sue them for millions and millions of dollars. Of which they might not have after that segment. But
dude, and the aspect of it all, what you mentioned too, you like Tony Schiavone epitomized everybody, I think. Like all the fans that like tuned in and got hooked on to AEW for what they were hoping to see come and what a new era of pro wrestling, like a new alternative of pro wrestling that was going to be. And like, hey, this is a new beginning for Tony Schiavone here too. And you don't get that. You get Tony finds himself back in the position he was, you know, 20 something years ago. And it's sad. Like, Tony's such a nice guy. Tony is a smart guy when it comes to wrestling. He knows the ins and outs of everything about things.
Whoa. Let's not cast aspersions and say Tony's a smart guy. we have had hosts on this show who have made bold allegations. But calling Tony Khan a smart guy.
No, Schiavone.
Oh, Schiavone. I thought you said Tony Khan for a second. No, I was saying
Schiavone.
Okay, yeah, no, Schiavone is it. Yes, Schiavone's a smart guy.
Yes, and like, so him just seeing the look on his face and what he probably tried to do to make that not happen, it's such a disappointment. And it really feels like, you know, not to be a prisoner of the moment, but you really see the signs of a death knell with that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, this is something that they could probably move forward out of and stuff like that, but this is going to linger for a while. And it's not just some like misstep that they make. This was a mistake. Like, this was a bad decision-making choice that counterproducts your product. It's bad.
Oh, but don't worry. This was not the only embarrassing, stupid moment, to quote Randy Orton, when he with Kofi, but like, you put FTR out there to combat this and then try to turn it into a rallying thing about, like, if you don't want to be here, you all can leave, you know, the guys in the locker room. And then they bring up the back shaving angle from the WWE. So again, you're referencing something that happened in another company that people don't even actually remember.
And the guy that did that is not even in charge anymore.
Exactly. Like, oh, but speaking of guys who are in charge. So when I have tried to praise AEW of late, because obviously MJF is not on there, and MJF was always a huge bright spot on this show. I mean, just an a breath of fresh air in what could sometimes be a fairly dull show. The guy who breathed all of that air into the broadcast has been Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. Will Ospreay goes out there, and they use that cool camera angle they've been using of late with Renee, where you see the audience behind him. He's standing up on the top of the ramp. They're all pumped up. And he starts talking, bruv, about this Triple H interview that happened on the Pat McAfee show. Not a lot of people who were watching Dynamite necessarily saw the entirety of the Triple H Pat McAfee interview.
I was there and I didn't see it. I was at WrestleWorld or WWE World and I didn't see it.
I saw the clip of it on X, on Twitter, or whatever the hell you want to call it. And I was just like, the gist of what Hunter said was when they were talking about guys that did not sign with them, which meant Okada and Ospreay, Hunter gave the company line of like, I want grinders. I want guys that are going to go in there day in and day out and work for it, not guys that are content to just kind of work, you know, once a week or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And most likely, when they presented an offer to Okada and they presented an offer to Ospreay, it was, here's how much you can make. You're going to work Raw or SmackDown. You're going to work the house show loop. You're going to probably be working 3-4 days a week. And here's how much money we're going to be able to give you as a downside guarantee. And Tony was able to say, I'm going to pay you an insane amount of money and you're going to work one day a week. And obviously, to smart people, you're going to take the one day a week job. You're going to take the, you know, path of least resistance, unless you look at the bigger picture and say, ultimately, I can make a lot more money headlining a WrestleMania than I potentially could elsewhere with global licensing deals and video games and toys and what have you. They made their choice. That's great. Ospreay goes out there and talks about, you know, how he's a grinder and he doesn't understand why someone would say he's not a grinder, and then points out that the guy who called him not a grinder got his position because he was grinding up on the boss's daughter. So Tony successfully made me want to see Will Ospreay versus Triple H.
Right.
This was so weird because you're talking about like nonsense. Like this would be like Cody going out on Raw and talking about a comment that somebody put under a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you any money. The audience is already all in on Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
They're super excited to see him wrestle Bryan Danielson. They were not thinking a second thought about that comment.
No.
And when Ospreay said that, they weren't like, yeah, we're ECW. We're behind this company. We live and die it. We're going to chant the letters. It just felt like a please notice me moment. And the last piece on this is, yes, Hunter got his position by grinding up on the boss's daughter 20 plus years ago. When he took over the company and he began booking it, he has now put together arguably the best WrestleMania of all time. All from grinding up on the boss's daughter. And guys, if you want to make sure that the girl that you're grinding up on is so impressed that her dad leaves you a global wrestling company, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Last night, we watched Tony Khan get epically screwed. And if you want to epically screw your partner, Blue Chew wants to help you. have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
Wow. Yeah, I'd thank Blue Chew not just for the advertisement, but for Robert's ability to do those kind of things. Just, holy shit. Oh, holy smokes. That's
great. Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. If, look, there was going to be at least one fleeting expletive that was going to happen on this episode.
Yeah, he's got to have it.
I got it out of my system because, like I said, we recorded Wrestle Roast a little earlier, and all it was just a stream of me just, you know, what the F. But we got the F out here because this is a family show for the thousands of folks who are joining us live every day, and we thank you, and we don't have to show any sort of weird incendiary footage to get y'all to tune in.
And Tony Khan screwed Tony Khan.
Yes, bad Brecker. Tony Khan screwed Tony Khan. Love that. This was such a self-inflicted wound that I don't understand it, because you have your Joe swerve angle, which for all intents and purposes, people are into. They want to see Swerve go up against Joe. That's what they're tuning in for. They're excited for Danielson versus Ospreay. I was going to say Okada. And then poor Okada goes out there to give him a squash match, and then he challenges Pac, who thankfully was just standing there in his gear in the back. And then the Bucks go to go attack him, and the crowd starts chanting CM Punk.
Yeah.
So even the live crowd, and of all places, West Virginia, were hip to what was going on, and they were going to bury this. This is embarrassing. This is stupid. This makes me want to pull up the CW app and start watching our friends at the NWA, who have to be like, Billy Corgan has to be the happiest man on planet Earth right now.
Right.
Because that, like, yes, the Father James Mitchell doing a line of cocaine on a pay-per-view seemed like the dumbest thing a professional wrestling company could do. And Tony Khan said, hold my inhaler. And he put this footage on air. And it justified Punk's whole position, which was, there's a vacuum of leadership. Nobody wants to do anything about this. And if I'm the one that has to do something about it, you guys are not going to be happy. And in his dumb wrestler brain, because at the end of the day, all wrestlers are just circus animals. They're going to act on instinct. And they're going to be like, hey, you, I don't like what you just did. We're going to fight about it. It's the root of the entire product.
Yeah.
And occasionally you're going to get that. It's guys with testosterone. They're ready to go. They're going to want to fight one another. Dude, it happens all the time.
Sports. If like, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. If Travis Kelce got into a fight with somebody on the field during practice or something like that, you're not going to fire them. You're not going to make a big stink about it. You're going to move on and work together to win a game. It's not like, testosterone flying through all over the place. And it's just like,
I worked in hockey. It happened in hockey. It happens in football. Yeah. Happens in basketball. Michael Jordan, you know, punched Steve Kerr in the face. It happens. This is sports. It's sports entertainment, but it's still like, there's still adrenaline going. And it wasn't like it was this insane brawl where they're like throwing monitors at each other. This was like, it was nothing. This was less than nothing. And then they show it. And I thought the punchline was they were going to come back to it and be like, what a little bitch. And instead, it was just like, oh, are you as outraged as we were?
Wow. Egregious.
God, it's so funny. It makes me so happy to see this and be like, guys, all of you, the thousands of you on social media who have constantly tweeted me about how amazing AEW is, how terrible WWE is. And I don't know what I'm talking about. One of these companies is over the moon, insanely good. All of you Scott Chaplins out there in the world, line up. And I want apologies because I can't even think of a world where this made sense. There's other news stories that happened other stuff happened on Dynamite, I guess.
There was other stuff.
Not really.
Let's just focus on Dynamite today.
No, the hell with them. Fine. The other thing.
Robert, let me say this real quick, too. Let me say this.
Put over your stuff.
Yeah, no, you mentioned Scott, and I thought he said something really good on Wrestle Roast, where it was like, you're thinking, you're watching the show, And all you're thinking about is what that footage is going to do to the product. And like, so it's taking away everything else on the show. Like anything that you're building to the Edge and or the Adam Copeland and Penta match, anything to that effect, it's all being overshadowed by this. Robert, if you removed a lot of the any of the inside baseball stuff, so the fucking footage, oh my God, the footage. Whew. Ooh, geez. I fired up today.
What is the matter with you, man?
I know, what is going
this
on?
This is like,
here?
I'm so mad at this, I'm going to like gently shove you and maybe knock over one of those books. And then Marcus is going to run in. I'm fearing for my life.
But so anything you remove that footage, you remove Will Ospreay's like really inside baseball talk. This was a pretty darn good show. Like if you take
no, it wasn't.
I think it was if you remove some of this stuff. There was stuff that you could kind of get engaged to, and okay, it was good.
Okay,
like when you got
Penta and Adam Copeland was a fine first ever match. It went long.
Sure,
it was good. Wasn't great, but it was good. Mm-hmm. And then when you think about it, and they you know, there's the post-match attack by Brody King. You go, hey, where the hell were Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe to make the save? Oh, they're in the back waiting to do their interview.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Then you get a Jericho six-man tag with Shibata and Hook that made absolutely no sense.
I did like it. Shane Taylor's team won, though. I will give that. Because I do think they need to get over, but.
Oh. Because we know beating Jericho makes you a major superstar. Hold on. Action Andretti is outside delivering my Uber Eats. I'm kidding. You need a car for that. He's got a bicycle because he's not on television ever.
Yeah.
No. By the way, where was Wardlow? Where was anybody in this devil, the Undisputed Kingdom? Gone. None of them there.
Yeah.
No Takeshita, no Hobbs, none of the big stars that they're supposedly promoting right now that we're pushing. And then to make this seem like Vince Russo has possessed Tony Khan's brain, like this is being John Malkovich, and inside of his brain, just bro, you gotta show the footage, and then what you gotta do is you gotta make two girls kiss.
Yeah,
they're right. Gonna go nuts, they're gonna lose their minds. It's 2024. Using same-sex kisses for shock value doesn't work.
No.
It didn't make any sense. And the way that they made the announcers have to sell this, like as if they're not embarrassed enough. You make Taz and Excalibur and Tony Schiavone like clutch their pearls like, oh my, two ladies are kissing. What a shocking moment, guys. We're going to sell this on an ECW VHS tape for decades to come. I love this episode of Dynamite, Dom. And then in the main event,
Tony, he said it was a great show, except everything between 8 o'clock and 10 p.m.
Couldn't be more. Then in the main event, poor Dustin has to bleed every ounce of blood in his body to lose in this angle, where I would point out Samoa Joe, who is the heel, gets attacked in the beginning of the show, put through a table, heroically comes out to face a fresh Dustin Rhodes, who has all the momentum in the world, and Joe still overcomes the odds to win. What a heel.
Joe finished his story on Dynamite.
Tony finished his story on Dynamite, and that story was us pretending that AEW... I feel like Cornette. I'd hate this because I always try to, I really do genuinely try to be as fair and balanced as I can be about AEW because I want them to succeed. I like there being an alternative. I like a lot of people getting an opportunity to have a big stage because if it wasn't for AEW, Jade Cargill would not have gotten the debut she got in WWE. Cody would not have found a true platform to find his voice.
Yes.
And rediscover who he is in WWE. MJF would not be a global star if it wasn't for AEW. There's so many good things to like, and then we go ahead and get this. And then God bless Rick Smith. Rick Smith here with a comment. Don't forget Mercedes Moné getting attacked and moaning. So I've done the production world before. We've established this. You had Mercedes there doing this interview. They turn the lights out like it's the movie Clue. You hear a shriek and a thud.
No.
And Mercedes is there lying on the ground because apparently whoever attacked her had the night vision goggles that they did that one time in WWE. And then Alex Marvez, who's just an all-timer, just out in the distance going, Mercedes needs help. Mercedes is, guys. This is a very niche reference that I don't care. The three people are going to get it and absolutely love it. In the movie, That Thing You Do, when Giovanni Ribisi is jumping over parking meters and then he falls and Ethan Embry just goes, guys, Chad fell down. That was the same level of intensity as Alex Marvez to the fact that Mercedes just got assaulted in the dark by Colonel Mustard with the lead pipe. Dude, they're printing money. And by that, I mean Tony needs to print money and pay his wrestlers in fake currency because he's going to go bankrupt in what he's doing.
I do take it back. This was a bad Dynamite.
It's the week after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And 2 days in a row, we're kind of doing what Tony wants. We're feeding into it. All we're doing is talking about AEW and none of it good.
No.
None of it like, man, I am, you know what? It's like, yes, this happened, but like, I'm sure at the pay-per-view, and this is all damning with faint praise, Joe and Swerve are going to tear it up. They're going to have a hell of a match. I'm sure Ospreay and Danielson are going to have a 17-star classic. I'm sure the Young Bucks and FTR are going to have a great Young Bucks FTR match. I'm sure Thunder Rosa, Tony Storm, it's going to be a very, very good women's match. None of it's going to matter. Because this is the build. This is what we're seeing week in and week out. And it's like, I want to quote Letterkenny, but I can't use the full thing. I'm just, it's effing embarrassing.
Yeah.
And at one point, Ospreay literally went out there and said, like, TV time is expensive. TV time is expensive. And you have an insanely great roster of talent hungry to go out there and show the world why they are the best at what they do. And Tony is not letting them do that. And for that, I got no answer. The question that I know the answer to, but I'm still going to ask anyway, is Dom, where else can the fine folks hear you?
Yes, you can find me today, actually. If you're tuning in live on Rumor and Innuendo, or you're tuning in later today at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, tune in to the FourHorsemanNetwork.com, and you will see Greg Gagne and Magnum TA live as we do a live show, a live recording, where we talk about second-generation wrestlers, Cody Rhodes finishing the story at WrestleMania, and a whole lot of other stuff. So tune in, go to Four Horsemen Network.
Dom, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm calling an audible right now because I didn't tell you this before. When you were interviewing Magnum TA,
yes,
and you're interviewing Greg Gagne,
yes,
and I'm sure this footage is going to come up,
uh-huh,
ask them where this ranks compared to backstage altercations that those men have seen, whether it was in Crockett or the AWA, where you had some of the most insane lunatics on the planet running wild in the back.
Right.
And then see this. I'm going to tune in just to hear their reaction of what that's like. I'd love to hear Rob's when you get RVD and be like an ECW. Like, knowing what those guys were capable of, stories that I've heard from Paul, and just be like,
what? Where's it at? Where's it at here?
This may break me. This may be the thing that breaks me, Dom.
It's wild.
This is insane. And you know what the best part of this is? Unintentionally makes for great content here on Rumored Innuendo. I wish we had positive stuff to constantly talk about. I don't want it to have to be dealing with this sort of nonsense. A lot of good stories. A lot of good stuff we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to preview SmackDown. I want to talk where we're going, WrestleMania 41, the future of the WWE, probably some of the further fallout for reactions here. Shout out to Grayson Waller with the hell of a tweet yesterday about this whole situation, and Dijak with his response. Love those guys.
Can't wait to see what Drew has to say. That's what I'm hyped up with.
Kayfabe, dude. Kayfabe. Yes, love the 5,000 plus of you who are tuning in right now live. Rumor and Innuendo. You can find us noon Eastern every day on WWE Creative_ISH, SE Scoops, Dominic D'Angelo X account, Podcast Heat X account. And we are on YouTube on Rumor and Innuendo and ad-free shows. Dom, this was an all-timer today. So thank you for permitting me to just rant like Cornette a little bit here. I'm going to go to Wendy's after this, and I'm going to go get myself a double cheeseburger, double mayo, double onion, and I'm not going to say the last part because that's that's Dom kind of language. That's D'Angelo family language.
We weren't raised right.
You were raised on behalf of the raised perfectly fine and still somehow maladjusted, misbehaved miscreant Dominic D'Angelo. I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Roll the footage, baby. Roll the footage.
Look out, Tony.